You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hi, I'm Joe Heath.
I'm Tony Heath.
And this is the Watchathon of Razzalon,
a podcast that you have chosen to listen to.
Why? Do you think that's a good idea?
I think it's a great call. I mean, how else is like a good way to spend your time right now in 2020?
Dismantling the system.
Yeah, but like, you can't be doing that all the time. Sometimes you just gotta do dumb shit that you love. Wear that dumb shit. So that you can dismantle the system later.
Right now, let's do some dumb shit. Today we're going to be talking about the first serial of the 21st season of Doctor Who, the last season of the Fifth Doctor, Warriors of the Deep, 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 Deep. That consists of four episodes that aired from January 5th, 1984 to January 13th, 1984.
Joe Fax!
And I want to give a special shout out to Ian McClain for sponsoring this episode.
Hey, thanks, Ian.
Why the fuck did you buy us this? It's okay that I said that because he said the exact same thing.
Yeah, no, he was on the stream with us.
And he's like, yeah, I don't know why I bought you guys this one. It's bad. Like the note that came with it from Amazon also is like, this is bad.
I've bought you this gift. It's terrible. I think it's exactly like when you eat something gross and then you hand it to someone else and you go, hey, eat this.
You are the person I know who does that the most.
It's a thing that people do.
Is it? Or is it a thing that you do that you think other people do? Oh my goodness. There was this one time we got this bag of chips from Dirt Cheap, by the way. There's two different Dirt Cheaps, I think.
I grew up where Dirt Cheap was a liquor store. And here Dirt Cheap isn't a liquor store. It's a
resale shop, I guess?
Or... No, what do you call it when they buy it in bulk and resell?
That kind of place.
And like an outlet.
Yeah, outlet. Yeah. And there was just this bag of potato chips. What? They were like some kind of beer.
They were.
Right?
It was Guinness beer potato chips. And they
tasted like vomit.
They tasted exactly like vomit.
Tony's like, ugh, these taste like vomit. Here, try it. And I did. And I was like, this tastes like vomit. I don't want any more. You finished the whole fucking bag.
I mean, I'm not going to waste good food.
That's not good food. It's patently bad.
It was kind of like a compulsion that like I couldn't stop until it was done. And I think part of it is that like a little bit of time would pass and I would be like, surely they weren't that bad. Surely they didn't taste like eating actual vomit. I'm exaggerating it in my head. I should eat another one just to check. And then I wasn't.
You truly have the memory of a goldfish.
It wasn't a very large bag.
So there's this parody of Men in Black. I believe it's called Men in White. It's been a long time since I've seen it. I think they're like trash men or something that get wind up getting involved with aliens. But there's a scene where they have the neuralizer and they keep flashing themselves over and over again. They're like, hey, what's this button do? Hey, what's this button do? That's you.
All the time, yeah.
Just constantly neuralizing yourself.
If I remembered everything, it'd be too much.
Do you remember this serial?
We did only just watch it, so I remember...
Do you remember how to say the word remember?
I started to say I remember it, but then I started to feel like maybe that was a lie. When we were watching it, like, the first episode was over, and I was like, Joe, what the fuck happened in that? I don't know. There's this thing that happens sometimes when you're watching something that, like, doesn't really grab you, but you're, like, you're watching it.
But you're not, like, comprehending any of it?
Yeah, none of it's actually making it into the brain. It's just sort of bouncing right back off of your eyes. For the first episode and a good chunk of the second one, to be honest.
And a good chunk of the third.
By the third one, I was trying harder.
All right.
I was like, get in there. Get into the brain information. Do it. Because I'm going to have to talk about this shit later. So yeah, to say that I remember it is probably a strong word. It didn't fully get in there to remember. Because it was just a lot of nothing.
I'm going to disagree slightly with that there's a lot of nothing.
Okay.
I'm going to say...
Are we going to fight?
Yeah, let's fucking fight! Put your dukes up. Now, I'm going to say that it's I mean, there is stuff. There's almost too much stuff, yes. But they don't do anything with it.
Well, and that's almost like the bigger problem, where it's like, I'm looking at a lot of information, but it's not fitting together in any meaningful way. The way that, like, my brain works is it's a lot... I will remember, like, connections, but not necessarily the information. So when there's, like, a lot of information and not connections, it's like, oh, this is the parts of stuff that I, like, I will use the connections to remember the information. So without the connections, it's like, this is just a bunch of stuff. This is just a big pile of characters, maybe some ideas.
I think there is an interesting theme, and I think there is there's interesting parallels. I just think it's executed super poorly.
Should we talk about, here's what happens in it?
Sure. Let's start with episode one.
Why do your notes start with, here's the skinny?
Well, let me tell the title of the episode before we get to the skinny. I have named this episode Silurianception.
Ooh, say it again.
Silurianception.
Gross. Okay.
It's a combination of Silurian and the film Inception.
Yeah.
Though actually, a big problem I have with this serial is that the Silurian plot and the Inception plot are completely separate. They parallel each other a little bit, but they could have tied into each other a little bit better. Like, thematically, they're kind of similar, but they don't tie them together well enough, actually. So, here's the skinny. We're in the future. It's 2084.
This is basically the rundown that Joe gave me directly after watching the first episode.
There is a Cold War going on between two blocks. It was paralleling the politics of the time. One of these blocks has a secret undersea base.
Which just looks like a spaceship, by the way.
It's deeper. It's, like, tall.
That's true. I just know that, like, the person who wrote it was like, it's supposed to be, like, rusty and...
Yeah, he said he wanted it to be, like, dark and rusty and, like, dank and not taken... well care of, but it's just all just bright shiny. Apparently is a big problem in this era of Doctor Who,
just light the hell out of it.
Like, I think dark shadows and danking it up a bit would have really helped this serial, give it a mood, because it's trying to be dark and moody, but it's too fucking bright to be dark and moody.
Fighting against itself. Yeah.
So anyway, there's this undersea base where they have a bunch of missiles pointed at the other block. They've got them trained on the opposing country, the other people, right? But they can't shoot the missiles without using a sync operator. That's a person that they plug into a computer. They got a hole in their head.
Ugh. They got a hole, and it looks like an XLR jack.
Yeah, I think, specifically to me, it looks like a headphone port.
Yeah.
But there's just one guy that has that. I'm not sure how they use it on the doctor later.
I think just Time Lord biology.
They just got holes in their heads. But anyway, they pick up something on their scanner, and that something... is a Silurian battle cruiser. And on the ship, we meet Ikthar, Skybus, and Tarpok.
Solid names.
Good names. I can tell them apart. And that may sound bad of me, but they...
I mean, I think it's the same mask three times.
Yeah, but also, I can't tell most of the humans apart either, so...
They'd have to have some sort of defining characteristics, which nobody in the serial has.
They don't have any defining personality characteristics.
There was one that you thought was really hot.
But yeah, well, I think a lot of them have some interesting visual things going on. But no, nothing personality. And also, there's one guy who has a fantastic fucking voice. The commander?
Yeah.
Yes, he sounds like a hero from the 50s.
I mean, they've all got good uniforms. My favorite is the one that looks like she works at Burger King.
That'd be Preston.
Preston.
The one
she's the one
with the
40s
hair as well. Anyway, the Silurians, we've gotten a bit of an update visually. They look like they're just super happy to be here.
They do. They've got these small mouths, but they're smiling. I can't remember.
The mouths don't move. They had a difficulty differentiating which Silurian was talking. So they changed the light bulb in the top of their head, which used to do shit. It, like, unlocked their doors and, like, they used it, I think, as a weapon. But now they just use it to blink whichever one is talking, their light blinks. Which is identical to the Daleks.
Yeah, but it is useful. Like, I'm glad they did it.
What they are trying to do is wake up their cousins, the Sea Devils. And that's all they do for this entire episode. It'll just cut to them and they're just still, like, defrosting them.
You said it was, like...
preheating the oven.
Yeah.
Always takes so long to preheat the oven. It's my least favorite part of cooking. Because it's just like, be done already so I can throw shit in there. Now, like actually cooking-wise, it's the best. Because you just throw something in the oven and you're done. You don't have to watch it. You don't have to fiddle with it. Just throw it in there, put a timer on, and wait. And that's great. But, like, it takes longer than anything else. that's been cooking with Rassilon. I believe that they send a probe to check out the sea base sends out a probe to check that out. And I believe the Silurians send the Mirka to deal with it. We'll find out what the Mirka is later. But before that happens, we get on the TARDIS where Turlough basically says that he doesn't want to go back home just yet. He wants to stick around and go on adventures. Why? I don't know. He doesn't seem to enjoy it.
Not at all appear to be having a good time.
And speaking of, like, the Silurians get an updated look, the Doctor gets an updated look. He gets a haircut.
Don't like it.
You don't like it?
No.
I like that he's got that one puff of hair in the front.
I do like that he doesn't have those weird sideburns anymore.
Oh, you don't like the weird sideburns?
They, like, almost go all the way to his mouth.
They don't know now, though. They're gone.
They're gone.
And they're going to go to the future of Earth, because I think he promised Tegan.
Which always feels like a bad idea.
And he goes too far into the future, apparently.
No one really actually wants that. It's like in the Ninth Doctor.
Second episode?
Yeah. If I'm going to take you to, like, where the Earth dies. Doesn't that sound like a fun time?
No.
No.
Hey, I'm going to take you to the future where all your family dies. You want to? I'm just going to go to the end of every person you know's life. You ready for that?
Sounds like a good time.
I know it's kind of sad, but they updated the formula for Pepsi, and it's just great. You got to try it.
It's just Coke now.
That's not an update. I prefer Pepsi. I'm a Pepsi boy. I'm a Pepsi boy. Pepsi boy for life.
Okay.
Coke can suck it.
I mean, you just can't be that loyal to a brand.
Dr. Pepper?
Oh, maybe.
I love my Dr. Pepper.
Anyway.
Both Pepsi and Coke can suck it. I'm a Dr. Pepper boy. I'm a Pep boy.
I'm a Pep boy and I'm abstinence till I die. Okay.
Wait, Pep boy is a car thing.
It is.
They send a probe out to look for that thing, and the commander, who has a great voice, I've mentioned that, tells this guy named Maddox, who has weird eyebrows, to get ready for potentially doing some shit, because he's the sink operator.
What exactly is it about his eyebrows that looks so weird?
They're, like, long, but also not entirely there. They're so light and thin, you almost can't see them, but you're like, there's something there. And it just weirds me out. Maddox is his name. He was not the sink operator. He's the replacement sink operator. He was
there to, like, shadow the original one, and he died.
Yeah, mysteriously got electrocuted. And this guy's basically just an intern who is not ready to be pushed into this new position.
This position where you basically have, like, the keys to nuclear weapons, right?
Right, yeah, because, like, you can't fire them without... Or stop him, I think. I'm not sure. It's very weird. But yeah, whatever you have to do, you have to use this human dude to mess around with it. And he's nervous about it. And there's this character named Karina who sort of, like, talks to him and is like, it'll be all right.
Who gets to be a character for, like, this episode and a little bit of the next episode. And then I don't think you see her again.
She dies.
Okay.
Yeah. It's supposed to be dramatic. Anyway, the TARDIS arrives too far in the future, as I said. And they are also in a forbidden military zone. They get shot at by this ship that's like, hey, what are you doing here? And they're like, we're gonna leave.
We're just leaving.
And they're like, nah, fuck you. And they start shooting at them. And so they dematerialize and they're gonna wind up on this sea base.
That's nice enough, by the way. It gets shot at and the whole TARDIS tilts to one side and then the Doctor has to, like, reach to the console and tilt it back. And they
what do you mean? The camera tilted.
What camera? But also the like lighting kind of changes when it crashes, which is nice. Like the emergency lights come on.
They sell it.
Yeah.
While this is happening, also on the sea base, we get two characters that are just sort of talking to each other. And I couldn't fully follow it, but I got the gist that they be bad. It was Nilsson and Solo. Nilsson's just a typical bad guy. I can't remember what he looks like now. Solo, though.
Has some great makeup.
It might even be Solo. It's spelled Solo, though. But yeah, she's got great makeup. She's got, like, the eye makeup that goes to the side and her hair. She looks like Emma Thompson to me. I know you don't know who that is, but she looks like Emma Thompson. Did you see Men in Black 3?
No.
She took over as the head of MIB in Men in Black 3. She's in Harry Potter as Trelawney.
Oh, okay.
I mean, she's all crazy haired in that one, but generally she's got, like, all nice and tucked in. She's the author in Stranger Than Fiction.
Okay.
So she's great. I love Emma Thompson. She's good. Anyway, this person looks like her. She's been on the show before. She's been on Doctor Who before. She was the Queen of Atlantis that the Master was flirting with a lot, and it was very weird. She had big boobs.
I did. You did send me like a picture of like, she's been on this show before, and I was like, oh, you'd think I'd remember.
I'm pretty sure I showed it to you, and the only thing you said was, boobs.
Well, I wasn't going to say that, but that is what happened, yeah.
They were there. Anyway, a missile run is triggered that might be real or might be a test.
I mean, so it seems like they're looking at like a computer readout, and it's like, you know, like the base is under attack, so you're going to have to attack. Like, you're going to have to use the missiles. And they get all the way to almost using the missiles, and the computer's like, this was a simulation. It wasn't real. We're like, it's like a fire drill to like test how ready and prepared they are.
What does the sync operator do?
The sync operator is like you can't fire the missiles without him. It's like those keys you got to turn at the same time, but it's a dude.
They need him to do it, and he doesn't want to. And they have to talk him into it. He gets jacked in, plug him up, and he cancels the missile run. I guess it's like, I mean, even if it is a test, he's like, we shouldn't fire the missiles because this isn't a thing. And so he cancels it and then passes out.
Like, it pops up though, it's like, this is a simulation. And it's like, cool, I can turn it off.
But it's too much for him, and it mentally
just passes
exhausts him.
Out.
And then they have a, like, I believe it's Dr. Solo. She's a doctor. She's talking about, like, how he can't take this, and they need to do, like, some tests on him or something. And she's just talking to the commander about this in the foreground. While in the background, some dude's just thrown Maddox over their shoulder, just walking out with him.
He picks him up like a sack of potatoes and walks out of the room. I don't know why. It's, like, my favorite thing that happens in this serial.
I just love how it's just in the background.
Yeah.
It's not focusing on it. It's just there.
Somehow very endearing.
Poor Maddox. He's probably the only character that I like sort of feel like I know him as a character because he actually gets things that happen.
It feels like some thought went into who he is as a person. Not a huge amount.
I actually think this plot line with him and the bad guys futzing around with him should have been the focus of the episode.
Yeah.
And not the shit with the Silurians and the Sea Devils. But sadly, that did not happen. So Team TARDIS have materialized on board and are exploring. They find a room that the Doctor and Turlough are trying to push open, and they cannot do it. And then Tegan just walks up and slides it to the side with no problem. Good gag. The boys are dumb. There's actually a handful of, like, small little gags. Not many, not enough. But there's a couple of small gags throughout this serial that I like. One of them that I don't like. We'll get to that in your comedy.
And what?
Your comedy. I can't wait till we get to that one. You'll know what I'm talking about when we get to it.
Okay.
So Maddox gets examined by Solo. I can't remember how you pronounce her name. I'm just going to keep saying Solo. It's wrong, but it's all I can think when I see her name written.
Solow.
Solow? Solo? Solo. Is it Solo?
Solo. I don't know.
Baddie number two. Maddox gets examined by the Doctor. That's not... Well, I can't say the Doctor, because there is the Doctor. Shit. Mm-hmm. The base Doctor. Nailed it. Maddox gets examined by the base Doctor, and her and Nilsson both say that they need to dive deeper into Maddox's brain and reprogram him to be less nervous, to be more accepting of this sync operator position. And the commander is initially like, I don't know, seems kind of sketchy. And then they're like,
does he says it seems sketchy, or does he say it seems hard? Where it's like, I need approval to do that.
I mean, the thing is, it would be a rough thing, and then like, he's like, but we're like, we need to push it along because we got shit to do. And he's finally like, yeah, you're right, all right, just do it. And gives them a disc, a little CD-ROM that will let them reprogram him. And it is, like, morally sketchy to just go in and be like, no, you're okay with this.
We're just going to reprogram your brain.
Your actual brain. They're not going to use it to program him to be less nervous about being a sync operator. They're going to program him for evil. So they program him for evil. Basically, they program him so that he will obey anything they tell him to do. Meanwhile, Turlough calls an elevator, fucking shit up. Because he's like, are we going up or down? And the Doctor's like, I think command's generally at the top on these bases. And he is like, okay, and presses the button. And the Doctor's like, don't do that. You just alerted security. The door slammed shut, sealing them in on that floor. And he's like, oh, fuck, well, let's go run away. So they hide in a room that says, warning, radioactive or whatever, radiation is in this room. And Tegan is not happy about that.
Fair.
But he's like, it's fine. Because, like, I think they also, like, try to run to the TARDIS, but the security team gets there first. Or, like, gets between them and the TARDIS. So, like, well, we'll figure out how to make a distraction. So they'll come to this distraction so they can get to the TARDIS. So the doctor starts messing with them some things, and he's, like, overloading a system while they're fixing that. That'll hopefully buy them time to go to the TARDIS. But doesn't really work because they immediately get caught by security.
And now it's, like, very suspicious. Like, they can't just be like, oh, we just showed up here on accident. It's like, well, why were you sabotaging our shit? And the doctor, I think, at no point gives a satisfactory answer to that question.
It's a bad plan.
Yeah.
But the doctor does say the thing that he says sometimes.
Mustache?
No, it's not mustache. When I say mustache, mustache.
Mustache.
Mustache! I know, he says, when I say run, 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 and they all run, and then the security guards run up to the doctor, and he fights them, and he, like, punches one of them, knocks them to the ground, and then says, I'm so sorry.
This is one of my absolute favorite moments of this serial. I think I said when we started watching the serial, this is, like, his last season,
mm-hmm.
And I was, like, shocked, because I was like, I feel like we haven't had him at all, because I feel like he hasn't done anything.
He's been very passive.
He's a much more passive doctor. But, like, my favorite thing about him is this, like, he's not as fighty as three, but he is. Like, he'll do fisticuffs, but he'll feel badly about it.
He's a soft boy.
Yeah, there's something about, like, I don't know, like, doing what you need to, but being like, oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, no. Oh, I'm sorry. That is a character trait that Five has that I thoroughly enjoy. And, like, the way that he says it, it's, like, it's just, like, half-whispered. Where he, like, flips this dude, and then it's like, I'm so sorry. Okay, bye.
But he doesn't keep the upper hand for long. And this other guard flips him over his shoulder. And, like, we didn't describe this room at all. They're like,
they go into that room, by the way, and we're watching it. And I'm like, this set looks dangerous. Because it is. It's just like these high platforms, these high skinny platforms above water.
Yeah. And, like, there's barely any guardrails. It looks like flimsy, like, PVC pipe.
There are some serious OSHA violations going on in there.
And they're over, like, green water.
Like, is that just like the sea?
Since it's it's radiation.
It's just liquid radiation.
It's just liquid radiation. That's why it's green. I mean, they did say that there's, like, radiation in this room and stuff, so I don't know. There's probably something bad about the water.
I think it's just outside, though, right? Like, it's an underwater base and there's water in it, so that's just, it's just the outside.
Well, then why is Turlo like, well, he's dead?
Because that's how Turlo reacts to every single thing in this serial. The man flips the doctor into the water, and Tegan, doctor, like,
just gets dunked.
Goes to jump to get him out, and Turlo's like, he's drowned, face it, like, immediately. And then every single thing that happens, Turlo's like, face it, it's over. There's nothing that can be done about it. He does this, like, 5 or 6 times throughout the whole serial. He just gives up on everything immediately.
He, like, flip-flops back and forth between being a coward and brave.
I mean,
randomly.
He's a lot more consistently a coward.
We'll get to it. But there are times where he does genuinely heroic things. Sometimes immediately after being a huge coward. And then sometimes immediately afterwards he returns to being a huge coward. It seems very inconsistent. But that's the end of the first episode, is the doctor gets thrown into the...
Here's the thing.
It's a good stunt.
Yeah, I was about to say, here's the thing about this cliffhanger, is that, like, it could be kind of lame, except that the stunt is executed really well. Like, when it happened, I was like, oh, God, they flipped him over that thing. And, like, you see him, like, get picked up and thrown over.
Since you said, like, it's a good stunt and it's well executed, I'm going to say, like, a lot of this serial is not well executed.
Yes.
And honestly, it's understandable because there was, like, an election thing going on. They required some of the sets for it, I believe. And, like, they just basically they lost 2 weeks of filming. So they had to rush it, and they had to do, like, a lot of one takes. They just had to get it done as fast as they could.
It's incredibly frustrating when you're creating something and the people who, like, around you and in charge of you, like, don't understand how long it takes to create something.
Uh-huh.
I'm not speaking from any kind of experience, but it's incredibly frustrating to have somebody like, well, just do it 2 weeks faster. Where it's like, sure, technically you could do that, but, like, you end up with this.
I don't think they had, like, any time for rehearsal or anything. They just did
I mean,
it.
And you can tell. Like, there's, when we were watching this whole first thing, I think Christine, who was streaming it with us, was just kept being like, the lack of tension is remarkable. And it's because of, like, a lot of the execution. It's not like the, you know, stuff wasn't going on that wasn't, like, genuinely dramatic a lot of the times. It was just like...
It honestly kind of feels like during the first and second Doctor era, specifically the first Doctor era, when, like, you know, they had to use first takes a lot.
Yeah, everything was the first take.
So it kind of has that sort of pace.
I actually said, I was like, it feels like watching a high school theater production of Doctor Who. And so, like, to know that, like, they didn't have any rehearsal time and, you know, they had to do everything first take and things were being finished literally right up until like the last minute. Makes sense. Like, that's what happens when you don't have time to create the things you need to create. When you can't put the practice and the effort in, you can make something and it's finished technically, but it doesn't feel like a, you know, a well rehearsed, polished thing.
Even if they had time and stuff, I don't know how great this serial would have been.
I mean, it would have been better. It's a question of, like, the script. Yeah, I can definitely see how it suffered from just lack of time.
They just had to rush it and the execution suffered.
Like I said, I will say the cliffhangers on this one are, like, really good. The execution.
Well, the third episode cliffhanger is really weak, but.
Three of the cliffhangers are really good.
There's only two. Well, there's only three cliffhangers.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Because of how stories work.
But the majority of the cliffhangers are good.
Well, half, because that's how numbers work.
Two out of three.
Yeah. I still think there's four.
I mean, there's three cliffhangers and an end.
My point is, I
like the ending is good.
Yeah. My point is, I liked the stunt.
The flip.
Even, like, what they, you know, like, they do the shot of him, like, in the water and he's got, like, air bubbles. Like, it's pretty good.
Yeah, it's like a full story that they flip him over, I feel like. I don't know. It's a good drop.
Is that him?
No.
Okay.
No, I believe it was the guy who played the, like, hunchback guy in Black Orchid.
Oh, okay.
George Cranley. How the hell did I remember that name?
I don't know.
But yeah, I think he was the guy that played the stuntman in that scene.
Good job.
So yeah, the Doctor's been dunked. That's the end of episode one, and we're now into episode two, which I have called...
Oh, no.
I have called WAD, W-A-D, which stands for Wet-Ass Doctor.
Okay.
Because Tony likes that wet-ass doctor. Okay, so, like, to fully explain, the Doctor swims through the water, finds a hatchway, gets out, and he's just dripping wet. And Tony's like,
No. Okay. All that I actually said with my words was right. That was a good look for him.
Right. Tony's like, I want some of that wet-ass doctor.
Okay. We're done now.
You're biting your lip and stuff. It was weird.
That did not
happen. I haven't seen you this hot for the Doctor since the Doctor wore that white t-shirt.
Oh, man.
The Silurians!
It is the Silurians, isn't it?
I think it was.
The Doctor's just hot in Silurian episodes, and that's just the way it is, and there's nothing we can do about it. Except move on.
All right. Turlo and Tegan run away. Turlo fucks with a door so that locks behind them when they run off. And it cuts to, like, you hear the guards banging on the door. And it cuts to where you can see the guards banging on the door. And one of them's just like, clunk.
He's
clunk,
just punching clunk. It. I kind of assumed because, like, they locked it and it's like, that won't hold them for long. So you're like, oh, they must have, like, a battering ram or something. And then it cuts to them and it's literally just a guy pounding on it. And it's like, what do you think that's going to do?
Barely, too. He's not even, like, full. He's just like, clunk, clunk.
Well, I'm sure it couldn't clunk. Take it. I'm sure if you punched that set, the whole thing would fall over.
But I don't remember how they get through it or whatever. But when they do, some guard gets electrocuted due to whatever Turlo fiddled with. A guard gets, like, electrocuted and shocked and falls down. He doesn't die. He just gets a
small ouchie.
Yeah, he gets to take a little bit of a nap. But they catch up and Tegan and Turlo get split up and Turlo gets caught. Turlo's like, save yourself, Tegan. See? Little brave.
A little.
And then because the door comes down between them, the Doctor finds the shocked guard and he's dripping wet. So he's like, I'm going to take this guy's radiation suit. So he just strips naked. You know, we don't see that, but he takes off his clothes and he puts on the radiation suit and he's like in this, you know, like the helmet thing. And he just goes, what is that smell? He says, what did you eat?
He asks the passed out guy what he ate.
Doctor smelled a fart, you guys.
Yeah, that's a joke.
I can't wait till we get to the next continuation of that scene. But the Sea Devils finally awake and are ordered to take over the base. I wasn't fully paying attention to this Silurian Sea Devils plot because it's boring as hell.
And you also, it's the thing of like you're listening to two very like affected voices speaking to each other. And so you're like...
I'm pretty sure that the Sea Devils sound like the Ice Warriors did at one point. That voice.
I think the Sea Devils also sounded like that though.
And they're so whispery.
They're so whispery. It's like...
So they didn't have the Sea Devil costumes, by the way. They had one Sea Devil head that they took a mold of, and they remade them. They got rid of the big gills on the side because eventually they're going to be wearing something.
Right.
But I assume there's got to be like some kind of gauze or something that the actors can see through in the neck. Because it looks like...
Yeah, it's like a head above
a head above a person's head. Their face is in the neck. I covered my mouth and then realized that's probably not good for the radio.
That doesn't make for good audio.
So I just did like a V around my mouth and that looks way worse. Anyway, Tegan catches up to the doctor now that he's in his radiation suit. And Tony made a joke.
I was like, Tegan's gonna be like...
What's that smell?
Yeah.
And then she goes... What did you eat?
I was so offended. I was so mad. It's like, I can't believe we've just now made this fart joke twice.
apparently the serial gets criticized a lot for being too grimdark. And it's got two fart jokes in it.
Yeah, there are two fart jokes in the middle of it.
You were so clever, and then she did it. How do you feel? How do you feel that you predicted a bad fart joke?
I mean, like, more than anything, I was, like, deeply disappointed.
In the show or yourself?
I mean, yes.
Fair enough. Turlo is taken to the bridge and interrogated by the commander, where he basically just says, I didn't do anything bad. I only shocked one guy, but I was trying to get away because you guys were chasing me. It's fine. And then the doctor and Tegan go down a hallway, and the doctor tells Tegan to hide. I'm pretty sure he's really rude about it. She's like, why do I gotta hide and you get to do shit? And he's like, just listen to me, please, for fuck's sake.
Is this the part where I think the line is like, he says, you know, wait out here? And she's like, why should I? And he says, for my peace of mind.
Yes, that's what he says. Rude. She hides and he hides and somebody comes out of the bridge and he sneaks in. I thought it would have been hilarious if the guy just walked down the hallway and was like, who the hell are you? Like, she's not hiding well. She's just in a little crevice. I don't know what the word is. But the doctor sneaks onto the bridge and he's like listening in to them interrogating Turlo. And they're basically like, well, he's not being truthful with us. And Nilsson's like, why don't we just hook him up to the mind thing and dive into his mind?
Not the mind probe.
So they're going to give Turlo the mind probe and they start taking him over there. And the doctor grabs a gun and is like, no.
Not the mind probe.
He points a gun at everybody and says, don't put him in the mind thing. I'm taking this place hostage. Meanwhile, the security people get onto the TARDIS. They don't do anything there. They're just like, oh, wow, this is neat.
No, that goes nowhere. I don't understand why it's a scene that happens at all.
Why is the TARDIS door wide fucking open?
Yeah, he did not lock that shit. This whole scene has no bearing on anything.
Just Preston looks around and goes, wow, it's bigger on the inside. Neat.
And then leaves.
And scene. So the doctor is like, listen, we don't mean any trouble. To prove that, I'm going to give you my gun. The gun I got. Like, see, we don't want any trouble. Just don't put my friend in the mind probe. Also, Preston finds Tegan and takes her to the bridge. So everybody's at the bridge now.
We got everyone in the same place. Like, we like it.
And then the Silurian battle cruiser, which they finally started heading this way, the Silurians and the Sea Devils. They pop up on the view screen, and the doctor recognizes it and says, that's a Silurian battle cruiser. Don't shoot it. We just need to talk to them. I'm sure we can do things diplomatically. Don't shoot it. And they're like, oh, okay. Shoot it? So they shoot it, which doesn't work.
It's also infuriating because nobody talks to the flippin' Silurians until the last episode. So, like, now we're just fighting and we're in a war, but there's no, like, chance to talk about, like, motivation. Like, why?
I mean, the doctor does kind of say, like...
I don't want want to be told, though.
Yeah.
Like, that is, like, the least interesting way to, like, do a story is to have, like, a character be like, here's why this is happening. These two people that are fighting, like, these two conflicting groups don't even know, like, haven't even interacted and, like, don't even know each other. So it's just like, well, we're all shooting at some things. Why? What? I don't know. It's like the least interesting way to do that, to have like the doctor explain what's happening.
I mean, that happens a lot, though, I feel like. The doctor's like, it's aliens. And they're like, no, it's not. Kill it.
I mean, the doctor explains things to other people, but not to like the audience. Not like story-wise.
It's not a great episode.
No.
So, but they get shot and the Silurians are pissed off and they say, release the Murka! Something starts trying to break in through the airlock, which is, that's actually kind of neat. You, like, see the airlock doors, like, bulging out. I like
it's
that.
It's neat, but also, it. I mean, they look very rubbery.
Yeah, but I didn't mind.
Okay.
I get what they're trying to do. I like it. So, but everyone goes to check that out. And because everyone's distracted by going to check out to see what's breaking into the airlock, Nilsson uses this distraction to activate Maddox and have Maddox do a sabotage. Karina discovers Maddox doing a sabotage. Remember Karina? She
No.
was in a scene. She was the one who was talking to Maddox, trying to like calm him down and stuff.
Is this when she dies?
Yeah.
Huh.
She tries to stop him. She's like, what are you doing? You're doing a sabotage. Stop. And then, like, the Nilsson commands Maddox to kill her, and then he chokes her to death.
Oh, that's messed up.
He does a choke. He does a sabotage, and then he does a choke. Meanwhile, the Murka pops its head in, breaks the door down, and pops its... And it's very undramatic. It's not at all dramatic.
No, this is... I think this is actually, like, the specific scene where Christine was like, wow.
No tension.
Absolutely zero tension. And it's the way that it's shot.
It's too bright.
It's too bright. Everybody's just, I think, standing around. Nobody's like really reacting. Everybody's just kind of like, oh no.
They didn't have time to stage it either, I feel like. They didn't have time to like figure out how this is all going to go down.
The whole scene is very flat. I also don't think there's like any music scoring it either.
There is, but it doesn't fit. Yeah, it's just there. Like, the thing busts its head through and you see it for the first time. And that should be like a ba-ba-ba type thing or something. But it's just like the same flat music under it. There's nothing emphasizing that moment. And there should have been.
The thing about this monster, it's not the worst. I know, apparently it's kind of infamous, this monster, I guess.
Well, I think the infamous thing comes later. And it's less the monster and more somebody interacting with the
monster. No. I think this is like a monster that was used as an example of like bad design.
I don't know why. I think it looks neat.
I know that like it literally got finished like an hour before they started filming. And finished is like a loose term. Like the paint and the adhesive was still drying.
Yeah, the people inside the costume got kind of high. Also, fun fact, they were not credited, but apparently, according to the wiki I was reading, the people performing as the Murka, there's two people, obviously. It's like a back and a front. They famously do a pantomime horse on another show.
Oh.
Like so they're used to it.
Well, so like that's the thing, is like that's what I've heard, is that people are like, it looks like a shitty horse costume. I don't think it would if it was shot right, you know?
Yeah, if it could have been in shadows a bit more.
Yeah, there's just like a, you know, and shot it shit. Like it should never have been shot from behind.
It got a booty.
I don't know why the monster has such a big booty, but it does.
That Murka is dummy thick.
But like the actual, like the head and stuff looks fine enough. Like, it doesn't look so drastically different from other Doctor Who monsters. I mean, like it's not the most impressive thing ever, but it's like pretty run-of-the-mill classic Doctor Who monster most of the time.
I think it's always kind of weird when Doctor Who gives their monsters a pet. The Silurians, in their first appearance, also had like a pet dinosaur that was just in a room and did nothing.
You think it's weird?
And the Daleks had that slither thing.
I always like it. I mean, it does seem like, well, now we have to make a second creature.
I feel like it's largely like cliffhanger material. Though, I don't know. I kind of like the idea of like letting loose this thing in a ship to like take out the vast majority of the people while the main crew just slip right in.
Here's the other thing, too. I really like the idea of like monster creature pets. Like we're watching Bloodkeep right now. What's the full title of that? The
Dimension 20 thing? Escape from the Bloodkeep.
Escape from the Bloodkeep, Dimension 20. And there's a character on there who that's their job is like to take care of like all of these magical beasts. And it's my absolute favorite.
He's like an evil Hagrid.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I'm like always, anytime you've got like the bad guys who have some kind of pet, it's like, that's great. Because now, like, you have to imagine that, like, there's a Dalek whose job it is to, like, feed and take care of the Slither. Yeah.
They should bring the Slither back. You've convinced me. So the Murka breaks in, knocks a door down on top of Tegan, and she gets trapped. And they're also very blasé about it.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean,
she's,
first of all,
like, being, like, snarky during the whole thing.
But also, this is another time where Tegan's like, help me, and Turla's like, can't you see? It's useless. Goodbye.
Yeah, he just bolts.
Can't you see? It's impossible to help you. I'm leaving.
Yeah, and the Murka has already killed at least one of the random people, because, like, if you touch it, it's got, like, an electric body, and you go,
it zaps you.
So Turlo runs away, but then gets very mad, like, because they're like, well, fuck, we gotta seal this off so it doesn't get further into the base. So they shut the door, and, like, the doctor's trying to pull the door off of Tegan, but he just shuts the door and leaves Tegan and the doctor trapped in there with the Murka. And
yeah, so he's furious about this, but also,
you left.
He just bounced out of there. I don't.
Mm-hmm. But the doctor gets Tegan loose. They try to get out and they're trapped. And the doctor says, Braveheart, Tegan. And Tegan says, Braveheart.
It's very cute.
As they face off against the Murka, which I think that's also a good cliffhanger. Like, they're trapped in a room with a big fucking monster.
Yeah.
And that is the end of episode 2. And we're into episode 3, which my title is based on a movie I've only seen half of. And I didn't even particularly care for it, but I like the song okay. Episode 3, which I have titled, A Murka, Fuck Yeah.
Stupid.
A Murka, Fuck Yeah. I'm sure you've heard that song.
I've heard it.
Team America, World Police. So we start off with a very long recap. Please stop doing this.
Who are you talking to?
Classic Doctor.
Just the show itself?
Yeah.
All right.
It starts all the way back, like, when the door falls on Tegan. Yikes.
It felt like it was 3 minutes long. It's probably not actually 3 minutes long, but that's how long it felt.
It was 77 minutes long. They just actually started playing last serial.
Played the same one again.
So Turlo is mad and he steals a gun from one of the guards. I say guards. They're not really guards, are they?
No, I think it's just crew.
People. I say guards is shorthand for guys with guns. He's like, open the doors. And I'm like, we can't open it from here. We can only open it from the bridge. And I think communications are down or something. So Turlo steals a gun and runs to the bridge and demands the door be opened. And he's kind of a badass here. A little bit. While waiting for the doors to be open, the doctor throws a power pack at the Murka, and it, like, hits his, like, electrified skin and, like, explodes, basically, and temporarily blinds it so it can't see them. And then the doors open and they get out, but so does the Murka. Meanwhile, in a plot that I forgot was going on, Salo tells Nilsson that she hid the bodies of, or she hid the body, rather, of Karina, and is ready to escape whenever he's done fucking shit up, once the sabotage is done. And he's like, all right, cool, but I'll be a minute. Like, they're just casually doing this while, like, a fucking monster's running rampant.
It honestly seems kind of like overkill, where it's like, stuff's pretty messed up here. I think you're good.
Right?
I think mission accomplished. You can just go home. There's, like, a monster that's eating everyone.
I don't think we've said it, but they are spies for the other block. I'm pretty sure you could figure that out from context.
Yes, they are there intentionally to sabotage this whole
base. And I think maybe also steal some information and stuff, too.
Yeah.
Bit of both.
Again, maybe I'm just lazy, but it doesn't seem like they have to be trying that hard.
Then there's a shot where, like, all these people are getting shocked by the Murka, and then they jitter and fall in a very ridiculous manner.
Also, there's so many of them, and they're not anyone we've ever met on this thing before.
Don't know or care about a single one
of them. It's literally, like, five guys who you've
burgers
not seen at all, and they just get fried. And that's it. And it's like, I don't care about that. I didn't even know there were that many people on this base.
Honestly, if it had been a character I knew from the show prior, I'd still probably be like, all right.
Yeah. At no point do any of these people, do any of the people on this base feel like people.
The only ones who get any sort of personality, I think, are Maddox. Like,
well,
that
you say Maddox, but Maddox is brain controlled from now on.
Yeah. But I mean, there's still like some like drama there, you know, like doing, being forced to do something against her will.
Yeah. Drama, but not character.
Yeah. I agree with you. There's no character
there. I mean, and it felt like in the first episode that he could have some. It's worse because, yeah, he's the only one. And then he gets mind controlled and you're like, well, that's it. That was the only person that felt vaguely like a person. And now he's gone.
I think Solo and Nielsen have a little bit of...
They don't have a character. They have a motivation.
Yeah. I mean, their thing is that they're the sneaky bad guys. But they're also the exact same character.
The two of them, yeah.
There could have just been one. But I guess you gotta have bodies to kill.
That's it. That's everybody in the serial. That's what they are. They're fodder. Like,
so the commander is mad that Turlo let in the Mirka, but the doctor is like, hey, chill. We're here to help. We'll take care of it. I can stop the Mirka. I just need someone to help me. So Preston's going to help him. Preston doesn't really do anything. The doctor does most of it. But they're basically going to go set up a device to stop the Mirka. Meanwhile, the Sea Devils arrive. They're like the second wave. And they have a new outfit.
Oh my god, they look great. They look exactly like if a Ninja Turtle dressed up like the Shredder.
Yep, because they got that. They got the reptile face, and then they got their suit has like spiky shoulders, a big spike on the shoulders, and they put on the helmet. Looks like Shredder's helmet. It's like silver metal.
I mean, I couldn't describe it any more accurately than saying they look exactly like the Shredder.
Yeah, they don't have the faceplate though.
No, it's just because you got to see that they're turtles,
and they even have like. They like skirts sort of thing.
Yeah.
They're great. That's great. But all they do is shoot at people.
They look like they're going to be cool ninjas, but they're just gun guys.
The whole thing with them is like they're just like slowly pushing their way further into the base. And there's even a bit like the doors shut and they have to get the cutting device. And it looks like a big green bong. I like that thing. And then Turlo bumps into the commander and is like yelling at him about something or other. I don't remember. And then the commander's like, oh no, you're on our side now. You're helping out. And he's like, what? What? He's like, here's a gun. And Turlo's like, oh, okay. And the commander, I think, tells Nielsen that they need to break radio silence because they've been radio silent because they're next to that country. They can't just be like, hey.
Right. If it's like a secret base and it'll get discovered.
Right. But he's like, we need to break radio silence despite the dangers of that because there's shit going on here. Nielsen will not do that though because he's still just doing a sabotage. The doctor's working on a device and Tegan says, what are you going to do with that? And he says, I'm going to bring some sunshine into its life.
There's something about this line and the delivery. I think it's that the line is very stupid.
Sure is.
But the doctor delivers it with, like, gravity. And you're like, don't.
He just said it like he's an action movie hero.
Yeah, exactly. And you're like,
but the line is dumb as hell. He keeps working on it. And Tegan's like, this is taking too long. And the doctor's like, well, do you want to go out and talk to it? And then she just like shoots him this look. And it's like weirdly filmed from below.
Yeah, from below and very close.
Yeah. And she just gives him this look like, fuck you.
Like, it's a good face, but there's also something about the composition of that shot that makes me be like, What happened that made it have to be shot like that?
I can tell you. Yes? They ran out of time to film it. Like, I don't know. Just fucking point it at her. Go. We don't have time to get 30 angles. So Nielsen is still fucking shit up. Like, it's enough. Get out of there.
Yeah, yeah.
But Solo is like, all right, I want to leave. And he's like, it's fine. Go ahead and leave.
Stop. He's already dead.
He's like, I got some more stuff to do, but you can go ahead and leave. Gives her the disc and says, go on, get out of here. And then she escapes very suspiciously. She walks in front of the doctor and Tegan and they're like, what's up? And she's like, nothing. And like just slowly sneaks out. What the fuck? Just walk out like a normal human being.
Just don't be so suspicious.
Don't be suspicious. Don't be suspicious. And then she bumps into the Mirka. And then the most ridiculous thing in this whole serial happens. I don't even know how to...
Okay.
She karate's it?
Here's... Okay, but like, here's the thing. Like, here's the... What is she doing?
I don't know.
Because she puts up, like, fists.
She goes, huh, huh.
Okay, but, like, what you just did, you put, like, your arms parallel, and then you put them, like, one up and one down, and then one left and one right. That's not what she does. She
just, like, like this.
She doesn't even do anything, like, that looks that cool as what you're doing now. Because she puts them up, and she, like, it's more like this, which is worse. I'm trying to think of how to describe. It's like a
Her arms are parallel to each other.
Cheer. It looks more like a move you would do in cheerleading than trying to fight someone. Like, at no point does it look like she can throw a punch in the position that she's in.
And to be fair, she doesn't. She full on, like, jump kicks the motherfucker.
Jump kicks him in, like, the knee.
And then is immediately electrocuted and dies.
What do you think was supposed to happen here?
I don't fucking know. I think they're just like, run up to that thing, protect yourself, but then bump into it and die. And then she was like, I know some karate.
No, she clearly doesn't.
But she thinks she does.
Here's the thing that we can say for a fact. That person does not know any karate.
That person knows zero martial arts, zero anything.
Also, like, the kick that she does give is so terrible. I mean, obviously there's no force behind it because you can't
kick a dude in a costume.
Yeah, it's not real. But also, like, it looks so clumsy. Where it's almost like, I feel like the top of her foot hit, like, I don't, the way that she bends her leg is just so bizarre. Like, it definitely doesn't look like a kick. It kind of looks like she started to fall down. And as she was falling down, her foot made contact with the monster.
And, like, this is not a young person either.
No.
I mean, she's got to be, like, 50 or 60, at least. Because, I mean, she was back in the Third Doctor era.
Yeah.
And she wasn't, like, super young then either. So, it's just this older lady goes out and does the Macarena. Then barely kicks it.
Then falls down and dies.
That clip would get shown around on TV to be like, this is why Doctor Who is bad.
Aw, are you kidding me?
It's the best part of the whole serial.
This is what I'm watching for.
It's like a dance, you know? It's not karate, it's a dance. But yeah, she dies. Some people find her body and the disc, which they then take to the commander. And he's very like, what's up with that? My next note just says, Turlo shoots a sea devil. Good for him.
You did something, buddy.
Maddox, meanwhile, is being pushed so much mentally. He's like sweating and like very weakly doing a sabotage. The commander comes in and questions Nilsson, like, why didn't you radio out and stuff? And he's very suspicious about Nilsson. But, and then they find Maddox actively doing a sabotage. The commander rushes in to stop Maddox, and then Maddox throws him to the ground. And that's like the last bit of energy he has, and he just passes out on the table. We'll get back to that in a second, because the next scene is the doctor turns on the device. It's
basically like a ray gun.
Yeah.
It shoots like a beam.
I think they call it like an ultraviolet whatchamacallit. No, I don't know.
That it's bright and then it blinds you, right?
Yeah, and it's going to kill this thing somehow. And I think what does he say before he turns it on? He tells Tegan to make a wish.
Make a wish!
And he flips it on and it kills it.
He's going to go flip it on again, and he points backwards behind him and goes, look, and then flips it on so that they like were looking the other way and wouldn't hurt their eyes, I guess. But why the deception?
Maybe it wasn't a deception. Maybe that he's like, I'm gonna tell you guys to look that way so it won't hurt your eyes, and then I'm gonna flip it on.
No, like, it's the way that it's like acted and played. It's like, you know, like you're fighting someone and you tell them to look behind them and then you do the thing. Like, that's the way that it's played. Only there's no reason. It feels like it's trying to be a joke where he could just be like, all right, close your eyes, I'm gonna do it.
Feels like this show is trying to be a lot of things and failing at most of them.
Yeah.
After they defeat the Mirka, back to the Commander Maddox plotline. The commander just fucking, like, Nilsson was being suspicious.
Yes.
Maddox was sabotaging shit. And then he knows that Nilsson and Solo fucked around with his brain. He should know Nilsson's bad.
Yes.
But he fucking doesn't. He just like, oh man, decondition Maddox so we can get him back up and running so we can plug him up and get out of here. And he tells Nilsson to do this. The guy who is clearly fucking evil. And guess what? He doesn't do it because he's evil.
You say he's evil, but like, who's not evil in this serial?
Okay. He's moderately more evil because he's brainwashed a guy.
Fair enough.
Killed multiple people.
Fair enough.
He pulls a gun on everyone, Nilsson does, and is like, I'm not going to do this thing. And everyone sort of comes into the room because the guy's like, oh, hey, I killed that big monster thing. Oh, what's going on here? Maddox has woken up from being passed out and he stumbles in and he's got a gun and he's like, I'm gonna kill you, Nilsson, for brainwashing me.
That happens?
Yeah, he comes in, he's like got a gun at him, and then he just flips a switch on his little controller that he's been controlling Maddox with, and it overloads his brain, and then he dies. Then there's, like, a little, like, scuffle, but Nilsson grabs Tegan and takes her hostage and is like, you know, don't fuck with me or I'll kill her, and runs out of the room. Meanwhile, Turlo and Bulik, who is the head of security, he's a person, I guess. For some reason, like, they're fighting the Sea Devils, and they're, like, running away from the Sea Devils while shooting at them, and they run into another room that has more Sea Devils, and the Sea Devils kill one of the guys. It's, like, three of them. It's Turlo, Bulik, and a dude. Bulik? I don't remember. And they run into him, and instead of the Sea Devils just killing them, they take them hostage for some reason?
Yeah, and they very much look at the group, and they go, okay, primary character, secondary character, I don't Potter. Even, yeah, you're dead. And, like, and that seems to be how they make that decision.
And they get put in, like, the crew quarters where the bedsheets are made out of bubble wrap. I feel like that would keep you up at night. Maybe we should try it. We should get some bubble wrap bedsheets.
Okay.
And then there's a scene where, like, they say, oh, all the people died. The commander's saying that. Like, the Sea Devils have taken over and all of the people are dead. And the doctor thinks that Turlo is dead. And there's, like, a brief second where he's like, oh, no.
Thank God.
Thank God.
That kid was getting on my nerves.
Finally, some peace of mind.
No, he does look kind of sad. I mean, not, like, super sad, but a little sad.
Yeah. Well, I don't think the doctor ever really takes time to be, like, sad. He's like, fuck, this sucks. Gotta keep going. I think that's been a fairly consistent thing. Like, Four really did that in, was it, yeah. Pyramid of Mars? It's like, we don't have time to be sad. We got to take care of this situation. I kind of like that. Later.
That's why 10 is the way that he is.
That's just years of bottled up emotions.
Finally was able to experience the emotion sadness and then never stopped.
So then Tegan and Nilsson are trying to get, are going through the hallways, and they have to get past the Mirka that's just dead on the floor there. And, like, Tegan pushes him over the Mirka, and they both fall down. And the doctor runs up, and he's next to the machine that they killed the Mirka with. Nilsson's got Tegan again, he's got a gun. And the doctor says, Tegan, make a wish! And she, like, closes her eyes and then covers her eyes with her hand.
Wait, here's the thing. There's, like, such a long delay between when she closes her eyes and when she covers them with her hand. Yeah. She closes her eyes, and then, like, a minute later, she's like, oh, maybe that's not enough.
And the doctor flips the machine on, and it blinds Nilsson. Doesn't kill him. There's a neat little effect where, like, there's just static over his eyes. Red static. And then the Sea Devils bust in and shoot Nilsson. And then they point their guns at the Doctor and Tegan. And that's the cliffhanger. See, that cliffhanger's not as good.
No, you're right.
That's the end of episode 3. And we're now into the last episode, episode 4, which I have called The Sea Devils and the Details. Because this is the only episode where they're like, oh, here's what's going on.
Here's some fucking plot. Here's some plot and themes and maybe characters. Just barely, though. Why did we wait? What were we doing for the other 3 episodes?
This serial has the exact same structure as Earthshock.
It's incredibly frustrating.
Because Earthshock had 3 episodes of the Cybermen doing something. We don't know what. They're coming. And then the last episode, they're like, this is what we're doing. And they have, like, a big expositionary scene with the doctor. Same thing in this one.
Waiting until your last episode to
explain your
dole
deal
out any kind of plot or content, like, is not the satisfying reveal that sometimes Doctor Who writers seem to think that it is.
Like, if it was a mystery, sure, and you've clues to it. Sure. Like, those are good when you're like,
but there's no clues. There's at no point is it like, oh man, I have a theory as to what this could be. It's not something that you can, like,
piece together.
Yeah, it's just, we're not telling you what's happening yet so that at the end we can be like, here's what it is. And I'm like, why? I don't care because I'm already bored. I spent 3 episodes being bored and now you're about to tell me too much stuff. And the consequences of what's going to happen aren't going to be satisfying because you're setting it all up now. So I'm not invested at all. Also, like, I don't give a shit about any of these characters. None of these characters are people. So, I mean, like, anything could happen to them.
And it does.
And it does.
So the Doctor and Tegan are taken to the bridge where the Silurians are now in control. The Doctor recognizes the main Silurian. I guess he's from the Silurians episode. I don't think he was named in the Silurians. Maybe he was. I don't remember.
I don't remember.
That was over 10 years ago. But his name is Ikthar Doctor recognizes Ikthar, and he tries to talk to him and be like, hey, don't do shit. And Ikthar's like, I'm going to explain everything, which is basically the humans. I mean, they've tried to reach out to the humans twice now.
Yes.
If you count Sea Devils, I guess. Silurians and the Sea Devils. And both times, humans fucking blew them the fuck up. So they're like, fuck humans. We want to get rid of them all, but we don't want to get our hand, we don't want to do that much work. So we're going to trigger a war. We're going to set off these missiles.
We're going to let the humans take care of themselves.
Yeah, we're just going to start a war so they'll shoot each other.
Which is not...
not a bad plan.
Yeah, not an uninteresting idea. I wish we hadn't waited until the last episode to explore it.
The spies who are doing this bad shit with Maddox while completely ignoring the bad stuff that's going on around them is... I feel like a hint at that, sort of like trying to be like paralleling, like they'll just destroy each other no matter what's happening. They don't give a shit. They're just bad people. And like, I feel like the Doctor's like trying to be like, hey, let's just fucking talk through shit. Stop being petty and weird.
Yeah. And if that was done on a story level, that would have been great. It's almost there.
If that story had tied in with the Silurian story on more than just a sort of metaphorical level, I guess a more
you can afterwards you can watch it and you can be like, oh, I suppose that like there's something there in comparing those two things. I don't want to like sit down and do it in the analysis. It should be there in the thing.
They have to like use the commander to stick his hand on a pad, but he doesn't want to, but he finally does, and he's like, it's fine anyway. They still need a sync operator. But this was set up episodes ago, and I forgot to mention it, but they have a thing called a manipulator, which you said looked like
Trouble.
The game Trouble. Like a big,
it's a big bubble with
Pop-O-Matic bubble.
Yeah.
That's the trademark name. And they're gonna hook that up to the sync operator, and that should do things without it a human being attached. Meanwhile, Tarlo Teagan, Preston, and Bylock have all been trapped in this, or all been locked inside this bubble wrap room, and they've been fussing around with a ventilation grate in between all of this exposition.
Yeah, they'll just cut back to it every so often, and Tarlo, it seems like, hasn't made any progress with it, and then, like, finally they cut back and it's completely off.
And Tarlo's like, all right, great, let's get in there and escape to the TARDIS. And they're like, that's a fucking dick move, man. People, the Doctor is trapped. He's like, no, they're dead. They're probably dead. We might as well just run away. I'm like, we don't know, you huge dongle.
Tarlo, like always, has already given up.
And then he feels bad about it as everyone else goes into the shaft and escapes. I believe Ikthar does say, like, tells the Doctor, like, you know, you're not really a part of this. You're an alien, so you and your people can go. You'll be fine. We'll let you go eventually. But everyone else here is fucking dead. So that's nice.
Sure, consider it. The Doctor keeps calling them noble races.
I mean, they're just as noble as the humans in this serial. I don't know, they're doing something. They're distracted by something, working on the manipulator, trying to get shit working. And Bylock sort of pokes his head through the door and like mimes at the Doctor, like, come on, let's go. Let's get out of here. And so the Doctor notices and like slowly works his way back to the door and escapes without being noticed. They're going to go run around and do shit. But their absence is soon noticed, and the Sea Devils are sent to look for them. And so they're ducking and duck into this room, and they're hiding from a Sea Devil. And the Doctor just straight up knocks a wrench off of a table, like a huge fucking klutz. And the Sea Devil turns to shoot at him and shoots a canister of gas.
Which was set up, I think, in episode one.
The Doctor says, like, they have weapons that kill life but nothing else. Is that what it is? And this thing also kills reptile life?
It's not a weapon.
It's not a weapon?
No, it's...
He does mention a weapon that does that. Maybe that's the missiles.
Yeah. No. This is not a weapon. This is specifically, I think it's used to, like, it's a sealant. So, like, if there's cracks in the base, it'll seal it up.
But it's also dangerous to reptiles?
Yeah, it's dangerous to reptiles. So, like, the Doctor, like, points it out, and he's like, I would have assumed that they would have outlawed that by now, because it's... to like be using it in the water is super dangerous. It's dangerous, like it's a thing that people we use as a sealant, but like kills fish and turtles and stuff.
So
which is not unbelievable.
That's true. So the Sea Devil gets this sprayed right in his face and he passes out. And because we're in this era of Doctor Who, he dissolves and like green goop pours from his eyes. Goo from the eyes and the nostrils.
It's so gooey. Everything's so gooey.
The inside of him comes out through his eyelids. It's gross. And then the doctor says this gas kills all reptiles. And so Preston is like, well, then let's just dump that shit through the ventilation system. Kill all of them, right? And the doctor's like, you stupid fucking humans. You goddamn garbage people. I don't know why I hang around with a lot of you.
I wish this moment was better because I like it.
It would have been better if they'd given the Silurians any sort of moral ambiguity whatsoever.
Yeah.
Instead of just being straight up evil the whole time.
Had spent like a little bit of time on, and yeah, like we know about the Silurians and how, but I think it's a big ask of your audience to be like, remember how they were kind of chill and like 10 years ago? Like, that's too much. Like, you're gonna have to spend some time working on it in this serial of like establishing these as just people who want to like live. And like, sure, this group of them now have chosen to do something like desperate and shitty, but like we did not spend enough time doing that. So like, there's a part of you when you're watching this that's like, I mean, all they've done, and I think even Tegan says, like, you know, the doctor has like this big rant and Tegan's like, well, they are trying to kill everyone, are we just gonna let them do that? Like, what's the plan?
It'd be one thing if like the Silurians were defending themselves or something, but they're taking the initiative, they're making the attacks here.
Because I think the doctor says like I just want to come up with a solution that's less lethal, which is, I mean, very in character and everything, but for the amount of like explosive anger that you get in that moment, it's like, well,
they are actively killing us,
right?
We're not gonna just not do something about it. And like, they do try to find a less lethal method, but they can't find anything. So the doctor's like, fine, just pour the gas through the vents. I think they bring oxygen.
They bring oxygen. Like, so well, I think their plan is like, maybe if we just do a little gas,
we knock them out, we'll bring them back. Yeah, once we've stopped everything.
I do really enjoy when the show does something like this, questioning like human morality, kind of. I like when the doctor gets to be upset. I mean, that's something that we can talk about all day about the current era of Doctor Who. There just aren't enough times where like the doctor gets to be angry, and when she does, it's like she doesn't understand why something is actually wrong. But I genuinely enjoy these moments, and so I wish it had been earned better, and I wish If this moment had been a part of a stronger serial, I think it would have been like a lot of people's favorites. But because it just...
It's like, you take like the Pirate Planet, where it's a good serial all around, and you have that, but why moment. That lands so much better, right? And the episode around it is good.
Right. And so like this, it just feels off. Like, yeah, it feels unearned, but it also is like, it's too much anger for like people who are like actively being attacked.
Yeah. I mean, it's immediately undercut by Tegan. Right. Like, they're killing us.
They're
though.
Killing us. What should we do? And that, I mean, and that could have been like, if that's a theme, that could be interesting, but it's not. It's not like that this is what this is asking, because I don't think it's as interested in like posing and as, you know, posing questions and answering questions as it is just like
hitting beats.
Yeah, exactly. Wouldn't that be dramatic? Which makes it not land. It doesn't feel emotionally satisfying. It feels kind of false.
So the head sea devil, who we haven't even mentioned, his name is Savix. Chris thought they were saying cervix. Finds the doctor connecting the gas to the vents. Preston tries to shoot Savix, but Savix shoots Preston first, so she dies. And I was very sad because I liked her hair. And you liked her Burger King outfit.
Burger King outfit, yeah.
Then Bylock gasses Savix, and Savix dies. There's a lot of that sort of thing going on. One person tries to shoot someone else, but they get shot first, and then someone shoots that person. That's going to happen again here in a minute. There's another missile run happening. They like force the commander's hand onto the thing to make sure that it's all going right, and then the doctor runs in and tries to talk to them, and I think they start to maybe listen, and then they pass out because of the gas, and the doctor's like, oh shit, turn off the gas. And they're like, we gotta stop the missile run. And they're like, but we don't have a sync operator. It's already started and we don't have anybody to stop it. So the doctor sits in the chair. They put the colander on his head and they jack him in. While Tegan and Turlough are going around giving oxygen to the Silurians, trying to bring them back. Because they've all passed out because of the gas. One of the main Silurian, Ikthar, wakes up. Because the commander is also like working on shit. Like the computer side of it. While the doctor's doing shit with his brain. And he's like trying to help the doctor. Ikthar wakes up barely enough to shoot the commander. And then Turlough shoots him. Shoots Ikthar. The commander holds it in as long as he can to help finish doing this thing with the doctor. And the doctor brain stops the missiles. And then the commander slumps over dead. And then The doctor takes the thing off, and everyone's dead, except for the doctor, Tegan, and Turlough. And Bylock. I didn't catch that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. My notes say, I didn't even notice that Bylock was still alive. Hell, I didn't even know his name or really what his deal was. I only know his name from, like, making, like, tidying up these notes. And so the doctor looks around at everyone who's dead, and his, like, face is all, like, dirty, and he's been put through the ringer, and he just says, there should have been another way.
Here's the thing. One, the doctor in the, like, what is it called? The strainer that's on his head?
Sink? I guess.
Oh yeah, being the sink operator takes a lot out of him. Like, it's clearly, like, rough, which I love. And yeah, he's, like, roughed up once he gets out of the thing. He's, like, exhausted. He's got, like, I don't know what's going on with his face. Like, he's got bags under his eyes, or, like, he looks like he's been punched. He looks like he has two black eyes. And he, like, very, like, wearily is like, did I do it? Like, he's exhausted. Like, he's like, was that, did we fix it? And, like, Tegan's like, yeah. And Turlough's like, they're all dead, by the way. Like, everyone's dead.
I think that's a pretty strong ending. I kind of enjoy it. I will say the original script did not end that way. Preston did not die. The commander did not die. Maybe the sailor ends dead. I don't know. But, like, not everyone died in the original script. But I feel like they were like, no, we need to push this to be more dark and edgy.
Here's the thing, you know, I'm not against that end. I wish I believed it. I wish that it had the impact that they wanted it to have. Because, like, as the entire serial stands, it just doesn't.
Honestly, it's the same. I know I mentioned this before. It's the exact same way I feel about the ending of Earthshock.
Yeah.
Where it's like, that's a dramatic ending, but the show didn't earn it.
It's just disappointing. On the one hand, it's hard to criticize something when you know, like exactly what went wrong.
Yeah.
You're like, well, of course then. The cereal went through a broken process and it produced a substandard cereal, and that is what it is. It's frustrating because, like, those two moments where you're like, oh, it could have been good. And even, like, when Turlough's like, they're all dead, by the way. Like, that's about the level of energy he delivers that line with. It doesn't feel like a dramatic moment. It's just like, huh. This one went bad. Okay. Like, and it should be heavier. It's just a bummer.
We'll talk more about that in our final thoughts.
Yeah.
Speaking of, that's the end of the episode. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back for final thoughts.
Transmission commencing.
This is Wookiee Radio. Translated for the Wookiee Imperative.
I like that Wookiee.
Your hosts, Ken, Derek, and Mike, bring you the latest news and commentary from the far reaches of the galaxy.
Hold it.
Subscribe today on iTunes and Stitcher.
I just assumed he's a Wookiee.
Start listening today, and remember,
the Force will be with you, always.
And we're back. Tony, do you know what time it is?
It is basically almost dinner time. I'm very hungry.
Yeah, it's 6:30. I'm starving.
I'm so hungry. You were like, we're gonna bang out a podcast.
And we've been recording for an hour and a half.
An hour and a half, and I'm so hungry.
It's not even
hungry.
A good cereal. Why did we talk so much?
I don't know. I don't know what we talked about. I can't imagine it's like an hour and a half of good content, uh-huh. And I want a burger.
A burger?
Yeah.
Ooh.
I don't actually want a burger. I just...
Oh.
I'm sorry.
Why'd you get my hopes up for a burger?
We had Red Robin like Booyah. Yesterday.
I know, and it was good, wasn't it?
No, it was cold, and you ordered my burger well done. So it was just dry.
That was the default option, and I forgot to change it.
Anyway, it's time for final thoughts.
Final thoughts is that I'm a failure.
Final thoughts.
Yeah, like I said, I don't want to spend too much time going on and on about what was wrong with this serial, because I think, one, we pretty comprehensively covered it, and two, it feels a little bit like kicking a sick puppy. Like, what is wrong with this serial is that, like, it wasn't allowed the time it needed to be produced correctly, which is all the more frustrating when you can see, like, that there were interesting ideas in it. Yeah, I mean, like, all of that comes together in something that is just an episode of television.
Four an episodes of television.
Yeah, that's it. Those are my final thoughts. Get me some food.
I don't hate this cereal. I don't like it. It's not good. Yeah, it's hard to, because you don't want to criticize it too much because you understand that shit went bad. I do think there are some things they could have fixed, even knowing this, because, like, I think they made some bad decisions even before they ran out of time, from a script writing standpoint and from just visual standpoint. Like, I agree this should have been darker. Like, if it's a pretty dark script, lean into it a little bit. Don't have bright ass sets.
Also, let your supporting cast be people.
That's the writing thing.
I will feel more sad when they die if I feel like they're real people who exist.
Write your side characters better. And also, I like the idea of a monster running loose on the ship. That's very alien. I'm very down for that. And I kind of like the, like, pushing further into the base. They're sort of taking over more and more of the base. I like that idea. And I like the idea of the sink operator and, like, brain controlling him to sabotage stuff. I like that whole plot. But they don't mesh very well. If they could have written that better, like, you maybe have this idea of these people are sabotaging, and then, oh shit, this thing breaks out on the ship, and they're also having to deal with it, and, like, maybe they even aren't so focused on sabotaging it. They get more involved with the plot that's happening.
Right, because it's that fight is less important.
That would have been interesting. Tie those two things together better. You do make it a little bit darker.
Or maybe even, like, they can't put that fight aside, but, like, make that a plot point, for fuck's sake.
Right. Like, maybe, like, surface level, they are dealing with it, but they're still secretly trying to do the sabotage shit. And then they're like,
so you have
why?
You have the doctor, like, you guys seriously can't. I mean, there is...
They do that a little bit, but, like, it's...
It's like a lie.
It's a little blip. Yeah. It's not hit hard enough.
Yeah.
Like, you have interesting themes and ideas, and they're just doing surface level bullshit. And if they, like, dug in a little bit deeper, hit a little harder, I feel like this could have been a good serial.
Yeah.
But as it is...
Yeah, we could have done something, like, better to fill our time.
I think when you have the Silurians, and you do need to sort of do, like, talk about morality a bit more. Them and the Ice Warriors, you know?
It's a weak choice to, like, make the Silurians just, like, straight up bad guys, because they're not. That's not their deal. There's a lot more interesting things to be done with them than to be, like, they're attacking the people.
Could you imagine Madame Vastra meeting one of these Silurians?
But I mean, that's how she starts, you know, like, in her first episode has kind of a similar...
I just mean visually.
Oh, no.
Because the new Silurian outfit's hell a lot better.
I would say it's an improvement, yeah. They look vaguely Teletubby-esque.
The goofy grin on their faces. How did that happen?
Time?
I hate when they give the monsters, like, mouths that don't move. Just leave their real mouths and put makeup on it. That's always infinitely better.
Yeah.
Always. But then they just put it up with a mask and it just looks like shit.
Also, don't do that. Make it a helmet. I mean, they do that in New Who, where they've got, like, you know, like how do we make this big goofy alien head into something that is, like, believable now? And it's like, oh, it's a helmet. They just take it off and there's, like, a face with a mouth that moves and eyes.
Also, like, the sea devil's mouths don't move at all. And I don't, because they're way the fuck up here. And when they talk, they have to, like, rotate their head. There's one scene where I'm pretty sure a Silurian is talking and the sea devil thinks he's talking and is wobbling his head in time to what the Silurian is saying.
Oh, no.
It's bad. Anyway, that's it. That's that episode. Anything we need to plug before we go?
Wrap it up and give me a sandwich.
Plug in sandwiches?
Yeah, watch The Unseen World. You can watch it on...
The Roku, on the Heartland Network app, or on watchheartland.tv.
It's also...
No, watchheartlandtv.com. Sorry.
Yeah, it's also... chances are it is airing over the air near you. So check out your
local listings.
Yeah, check out your local listings. It just started running over the air.
Syndication.
In syndication, I think, this month or last month. I don't know, because the existence of time is very fuzzy right now. But check it out there. I swear really soon we're going to start airing season 2, and it is good.
I mean, you've got The Land of Oz.
The Land of Oz, which a lot of people, like, begged me to go to. That I don't know if you remember, but there was, like, a picture set that would go around of this, like, abandoned Wizard of Oz theme park. And it actually turns out that, like, it isn't abandoned anymore. Like, the people who used to work there kind of came back and, like, fixed it back up, and it's operating now. And it's a really good story. Alan's in it.
Yeah, Alan. Previous guest, Alan. Our Alan Seiler.
yeah, it's just gonna be a good season. There's a lot of really good stuff that we shot.
Frozen Dead Guy Days, City Museum
was a fun one.
Passaquan.
I actually just got, we talk a little bit about Irwin, the town of Irwin and the Elephant Revival. She just messaged me the other day, and that piece turned out really well. So that's something to look forward to. Supposedly I'm going to be like, when season 2 comes out, I'm going to be like doing sort of a media circuit thing, which is slightly terrifying. But also, if you want to have me on your podcast, let me know. What else? Follow me on Twitter at Forward Power.
That's FWDPWR.
I'm taking a little break right now, but I still check it all the time.
I'll say follow me on all the socials at Minty Pineapple. I've got a new short up called My Two Clones. It did a bunch of film festivals, and now it's online. You can see it at mintypineapple.com or youtube.com/AlohaJoe. I said I'm Minty Pineapple on all the socials, but YouTube, it's Aloha Joe.
Good branding.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Road Trippy, by Road Trippy on Amazon, by J. Bartholomew Hivemind. Well, it's Hiveman, but it's spelled Hivemind. I've written a movie script adaptation of it, and it's been doing very well in screenplay festivals. So if you are a film producer... hit me up. I'm also writing a TV series version of it. I've written a pilot in the second episode. So if you want to, you know, produce my shit, get in touch with me. I'm good. And other than that, if you like this episode of the podcast, you can check out more on WatchYourAssalon.com. And if you'd like to help us out, you can become a Patreon patron at Patreon.com/Watchathon. Or you can find our Amazon wish list at WatchYourAssalon.com/support. And you can sponsor an episode of the podcast by purchasing a DVD or Blu-ray for us. We'll mention you on the podcast. Put your name on our Friends of Rassilon page. Speaking of, special thanks again to Ian McLean for sponsoring this episode.
Hey, thanks, Ian.
The DVD holds a special spot on our shelf. And I want to give a shout out to Vincent EL for providing us with our amazing theme song.
Thank you, Vince.
You can follow them on the internet at soundcloud.com/VincentEL or VincentEL.bandcamp.com. A lot of good music there. Check it out. And tune in next time when we talk about The Awakening with special guests Matt. Hey, thanks, Matt. Golden. And our Alan Seiler.
That delivery was terrible.
Was it? I'll do it again and then I'll let you do it.
Okay.
Tune in next time when we talk about The Awakening with special guests Matt.
Hey, thanks, Matt.
Golden.
Golden.
And star of The Unseen World, R. Alan Seiler. An episode of The Unseen World.
And that'll be a very Unseen World heavy episode.
Yeah, because Matt is the co-creator.
Matt co-created that show. Wild.
All four of us will have worked on The Unseen World, because I've done some edits and stuff.
You have, yeah.
I even helped edit the Land of Oz one, so.
You did. Well, you indexed all that footage.
Yeah, I indexed all that footage. Until next time, keep calm. And wrestle on.
Goodbye, and I love you in a platonic, parasocial way.
Hey, Tony.
Yes.
Wet ass doctor.
There should have been another way.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping at the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network. Your station for all things geek.